Welcome back to another empowering podcast. We have another exciting topic. Stay tuned. Today, I am so excited to have Angie Rodriguez as we talk about electrification and focusing on electrification of vehicles. Angie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me, Kelly.
Now, who is Angie? Who is Angie Rodriguez? I've been dying to have you on here, but our viewers don't know much about you. Tell our viewers a little bit about you.
My name is Angie Rodriguez, and I represent our Emerging Technologies and Innovations team here at El Paso Electric. We're doing project management and developing new programs that support transportation electrification.
I, of course, am a big fan of this topic. I have had electric car for years and love it. But why are you excited? Why should our viewers be excited about electrification?
I'm very excited about it. All of the viewers should be too, because we understand electric vehicles are good for our customers, are good for our local economy, our environment, of course, and our electric grid.
It's a win-win all around, right?
Win-win-win.
You know, I've talked to so many people about this the past few years, and there's a misconception that electric vehicles are only available for a small segment of our people. Yeah. Is that true?
No, that's not true at all, and you know this better than I do. There is an electric vehicle for everyone, you know, and the pre-owned one starts at $10,000, the new one's at $30,000, and that's before any tax incentives and other programs that are out there for you. So there is a car for you out there. Just go check them out. We'll have amazing tools for you next year to go and see them on our website. So you will find a car that you love, I promise.
Yes, and I'm surprised at our own EV club. It's everyone from entry-level employees to me, and I don't have the best car. A lot in between. There's cars that are $30,000 and there's cars way more than that. So yeah. I was so impressed to see the variety of cars. Well, that's one misconception. Mm-hmm. But what are other misconceptions about electric vehicles?
I'm glad you brought it up. There are a lot of them, that they're slow, for example, that they don't work in cold conditions, or that the maintenance is expensive. And you've owned your car for how many years now?
Three and a half.
But before that, you had another one,
yes,
right? So you know better than probably I do that EVs require very minimal maintenance. You can forget about oil changes, which is great news for all of us, and you can save in the long run. So it's a no-brainer, right? And for now working in the cold conditions, it's also misconceptions. They actually perform really good in cold weather, especially in snow and when it's slippery, because they have lower center of gravity. So they actually have better traction on the road. So that's another misconception. And as far as being slow, well, we know it very well. They have instant torque,
yes,
and you feel like you're on the roller coaster, right?
Well, I would say, once you drive an electric car, it's hard to drive another one in traffic because it is so responsive.
Yeah.
My 16-year-old loves when he says, push the pedal, and he goes like that. Like, that's the one thing he likes. You know, I have to wean him off this Jeep thing, but
oh, no.
He still loves when I push that pedal to the ground. So they're not slow. They go in cold, mm-hmm, and there's basically no maintenance. So what's the downside? What are people waiting on? When's a truck coming?
Well, as you mentioned, people are waiting for specific models, right?
Yes.
And unfortunately, there weren't an electric truck out there. Next year, it's coming from many, many automakers, so that's going to change the whole game. And there will be an EV for everyone, SUV, trucks, even semi-trucks, you know,
right.
All of this is coming.
What's our role? What's the role of the utility? I know that, you know, that's your job, and we mm-hmm talk about it all the time, and you mentioned it's a win-win, that it lowers costs and it's good for our environment.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit more about that and what we're doing to make sure that we optimize this opportunity.
Well, we're developing programs and incorporating systems in our business that can help us communicate with these vehicles, because what we really want is for people to charge at night or when we have a lot of renewables, you know, so that way electric vehicles can help our grid rather than putting strain on it. So that's what we're looking to do, right? We want to help our customers to move to EVs, mm-hmm, but we also want to do it in a smart way to ensure EVs are helping the grid in the long run, and that will benefit customers as well.
For a lot of people, lowering their costs is a primary concern. Mm-hmm. Let's be real specific about how you can lower your price or have cost savings with EVs.
Mm-hmm. we're helping our customers to get access to EVs by establishing partnerships with automakers and dealerships. Mm-hmm. We have our Go EV Savings program, in which dealerships and automakers offer great instant discount on electric vehicles to all of our customers. All you have to do is come to a participating dealership and take advantage of that discount.
Wow, that sounds easy. Is it easy?
Yeah, it's super easy. Oh,
how many people are excited about this? We're not doing this alone. We have deep partnerships. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that.
Some of our partners include, of course, automakers, right? Also home builders that are willing to build homes that are ready for EVs. We're also partnering with local community colleges, which we're very excited about, to develop courses on how to maintain electric cars. So we have local people that know how to maintain those vehicles. We're also partnering with UTEP, City of El Paso, to install charging stations in the city. We're going to have so many more partnerships coming along, so stay tuned.
I know, I'm excited about that. It takes a village.
Yes.
Now look into the future with me. If you're painting a picture mm-hmm. of what it looks like, what is that picture?
It's not just having EVs on the road, right? We will have light-duty semi-trucks, school buses on the road, but we'll also have infrastructure. We'll have apartments that have charging stations. We'll have charging at home. We'll have chargers along freeways so you can go out of town with no problem. But we'll also have a way to communicate between the car and electric grid and hopefully coordinate when EVs are charging so it can benefit our grid and the customers. And maybe you can charge at night or during the times when we have a lot of solar.
Yes.
That
sounds great to me. I love that picture of the future. We've talked a lot today. It's clear that there's a cost savings and a convenience savings, right? Talk to me a little bit about both of those again.
Most people don't realize that it costs 3 times cheaper to fuel your car with electricity than gasoline. So you can save 3 times more money, right?
Yeah,
and you're going to save on maintenance. You and I know I've owned my car that is electric for 2 years. I had zero maintenance on it except for tire rotation, but there is no oil changes, there is no spark plug changes. It's absolutely incredible. So you save on maintenance and you save on gas.
I have never seen a service center since I bought mine 3.5 years ago. I got to think about that tire rotation. I might have forgotten that. I might have forgotten that one. But, it's $10,000, whatever. You take the car in. For me, the time is money, and I've really appreciated not having that close of a relationship with my retailer. So I've really enjoyed that. I think as much as I've enjoyed the cost savings, it's just the convenience of not going in and the cost of not going in. What's going on nationally? What is really promoting this mm-hmm. new wave of electrification?
I'm glad you brought it up because nationwide, there are 2 things happening. The policy is being developed on EVs and also the market is developing, right? So on the policy side, as you have seen, within last few weeks, there was an executive order basically setting a goal for the U.S. to produce 50% of EVs or sell 50% of electric cars by 2030. That's less than 10 years from now, right? There's infrastructure bill coming up. And on the market side, a lot of automakers will be offering new models. And the prices of batteries are coming down, which will make EVs even more affordable for everyone.
So utilities across the United States are working with providers to create these electric corridors where there's mm-hmm. charging available everywhere. And that's really key. Talk to me a little bit about charging, because there is another misconception that, you know, it's difficult to charge. Where mm-hmm. can I charge? Do I need a special thing to charge? And how far will I get? So this real, you know, what they call it, range of fear, right? That
you're
I'm
right.
going to run out of charge. So talk a little bit about charging, the charging infrastructure, and mm-hmm. how we charge vehicles.
Yeah. Well, most people don't know this, but after this podcast, they will, hopefully, that 80% of people charge at home. It's very convenient, including me.
And me.
And so you only charge when you go out of town, or maybe you have a charger at your workplace. So it takes changing our mentality, because right now we're used to going somewhere, and we break our routine to go and refuel. In the future, you will not have to. You just refuel at your home, your work, and you don't even have to think about it. It's so convenient.
And people have been really smart. I know I have a charger at my gym. They're always full. And a charger, of course, the airport. But I notice where they put chargers are with where restaurants are or a mm-hmm. shopping markets. So it takes my car 30 minutes or so to get a full charge. So that's that works very conveniently for me. So I think they're being really smart in creating charging infrastructure. I know that we've been talking to a number of different manufacturers who want to bring charging infrastructure here. And we have some exciting plans for helping that along. Can you tell us just a sneak preview of how EPE is going to help that charging infrastructure get developed?
Yes, we're very excited about working with City of El Paso, UTEP, our local parking lot owners, to bring more charging infrastructure in our region. And so stay tuned. There will be some chargers coming in soon, hopefully this year, if everything goes by the plan. So if you cannot charge at home, there will be infrastructure for you to do it in our city.
So we've covered a little bit about the environmental impact. That's really part of our vision. We've been recently proud to announce our 80% carbon goal by 2035 and pursuing 100% carbon free. And while this isn't our system, it really helps the philosophy of bringing cleaner environment to our region. One of the things I do want to elaborate a little bit on, because I know it's on people's minds, is the cost factor. Now, how do we say to people it's cheaper to own an electric vehicle? How do we calculate that?
I'm glad you brought it up, because a lot of people don't realize it, that you have to look at the total cost of owning a car, right, over 3-5 years, whatever you prefer. And we're going to have some exciting tools on our website next year that will help you evaluate what's your total cost of owning an electric car versus gasoline car. And what you will find out, that owning an electric will probably be cheaper than gasoline, simply because you're going to save on fuel and you're going to save on maintenance. And if you take advantage of discounts that we offer together with our automaker partners and take advantage of federal tax credit, you will definitely find out that EVs are much cheaper to own than gasoline.
Well, one thing I know we're really excited about is we're going to be able to offer price differentials for when you use electric differently. And it'll be a lot easier when we get our automated meter we talked about last week. So that will allow us to give, you know, great prices when it's cheap for us to generate electricity. In the meantime, we do have another meter that I know I'm getting soon. Tell me a little bit about that EV meter.
We offer a very special rate just for EV charging. You do need to install a second meter. So if you're interested in doing that, let us know, call us, or send us an email. We'll help you out. But once you have that second meter, it will be dedicated to your EV, and you'll get a very, very attractive rate for charging at night or off-peak.
Yes.
In summer months, in winter months, it doesn't really matter. But in summer months, which for us is June through September, you'll get a very, very attractive price, which will help you cut down your EV charging cost by half.
Right. When I lived in Illinois and I had a smart meter, I remember charging for almost a penny, depending on what was costing ComEd to generate electricity. So there's a lot of pricing options we'll look forward to. So that's another thing. Before we go to the commercial industrial, because that's going to be the real power behind this for our region, There's also a sense of community, I think, in the EV community. I know that you and I are part of that. We feel that. And are there ways to get involved? I know we have our own EV club, but there's an EV community, right?
Yes, we developed EV community, which is open to all of you, our listeners. You don't have to own an EV yet. You know, you can just go on our website, sign up. It's completely free, and you'll get very useful information from us on charging infrastructure, incentives that are out there, and events, because we're organizing a lot of test drive events. And if you want to have experience with electric cars, sign up for this EV community, and we'll notify you when the next event is coming.
I was excited when I was at a local meeting recently. Everyone came out and looked in my car. They couldn't get the idea that when I open the hood, there's nothing there. They're like, what's there? It's a blanket from my yoga blanket. But that was it. So it's really exciting, and a lot of people, I drove my car at one of our events, so I'm looking forward to that. So stay tuned. A lot of fun, our EV events. Now, for the, I don't want to say the real power, but the game changer is commercial industrial vehicles. I know we're doing a lot here. So first start with, what are we doing here at EPE with our own vehicles and our own plan for electrification?
We're electrifying our own fleet, Kelly, and so far we've electrified 7% of it. You must be wondering, why only 7?
Yes, I am wondering. Why only 7?
Well, it's because a lot of our fleet vehicles are trucks, right? And as we mentioned earlier, they weren't available on the market. But next year, we're going to start developing a new company strategic plan for fleet electrification, where we can really plan and hopefully transition almost 100% at least of our light-duty vehicles to electric.
Great. So They're cheaper, they help the environment, they help us manage the grid because we can use them to charge later, or they can charge later, so they help us keep our prices down. Is there any downside we need to know about?
No, there's really no downside. The downside is that a lot of people still don't understand electric vehicles and their benefits, so that's why we're here today, and we hope everybody listens to this podcast.
Is there anything else we need to tell our listeners about why we love electric vehicles, how they contribute to transforming the energy landscape? Is there anything we've missed?
Well, I think all of us can contribute to bettering our environment, lowering our prices, you know. If we look at the new technology and see how it can benefit our community, you know, as we mentioned earlier, it benefits local economy, it benefits you. So just do your research, check out our resources. We're doing a lot in our community. Sign up for those events, you know. And if you could charge at night, please do. If you already have an EV, that really helps our grid. It helps us utilize our power plants better, which will result in better rates for everyone.
One thing I hear over and over again is the fear of running out of charge, this range fear. Talk to us a little bit, why is that not as founded as it used to be?
That's no longer the case, as you mentioned, Kelly. You know, in the past, EVs had very low range, maybe 50 miles, 60 miles. So yes, people had range anxiety, but that's no longer the case because all new electric cars are coming up with over 200 miles, 300 miles range. So you don't even have to think about charging it. Honestly, I charge my car maybe twice a week. So even if I forget to charge it one time, you know, it's totally fine. I have plenty of range in my vehicle.
Sure, and I have been so impressed with the number of charging stations that I find. Certainly, I go back and forth to Las Cruces a lot. I certainly don't have to charge, but even when I go to Albuquerque, I drove my car down from Chicago. I mean, there are charging stations everywhere.
Oh, yes.
But really, do we need a charging station? You mentioned charging at your home. Talk a little bit about all the options and how do most people charge?
There are three different options to charge. There are two options to charge at home, which is basically get in the car. It comes with a charge cord, similar to your experience with a cell phone, right? When you buy a cell phone, it comes with a charge cord. So you can just plug it in a regular outlet without doing any upgrades and spending any more money. The second way to charge at home is to upgrade your outlet to 240 volt outlet, which is similar to what you have for your dryer. And that will just give you a faster charge. Do you need it? You may not need it.
I never had one before until just now, but I've always charged at home. It charges fully overnight. But I know for some people, it just gives them that added comfort to know I can charge in a couple hours if I need to.
Yeah.
But we don't need it, but it's there.
It's nice to have, right?
Right.
But a lot of people, when they hear, well, it takes hours to charge my car, I don't want to be spending so much time on the freeway. They don't understand. There is a third way to charge your car, which are called DC fast chargers. Those are the chargers along the freeway that charge you in 10 to 15 minutes, maximum 20 minutes, and you can be on your way. So there are plenty of them everywhere. You just have to plan your route before you go, but you have to do it anyways in any car, right? So you don't get lost.
No more range anxiety.
No more range anxiety.
The thing we mentioned a little bit is the fun factor of electric vehicles. And you mentioned they really do respond. They go fast.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little more about that. Now, what is great about driving an EV? How do we communicate and how does it upgrade? Just the fun of the EV.
Yeah. It is so fun to drive, like you mentioned earlier. It has instant torque. So once you step on the pedal, you know, it just goes. So I encourage all of our listeners to just test drive any electric car. It doesn't have to be a Tesla, any electric car out there. And I promise you, you'll be so impressed with performance, you will never go back to gas.
And the car kind of grows by itself, right? I mean, when upgrades happen, they automatically come on. Talk a little bit about that, the whole computer system. It's really an iPad on wheels.
It's an iPad on wheels, Kelly. And the best thing about it is that the car gets better over time. You get instant over-the-air updates that give you new features that you didn't have when you bought the car, and sometimes you don't even have to pay for them. You know, they just upgrade your car, so it's like, wow, that's impressive. That's why they actually depreciate less, right? Because you get better and better features over time.
Oh, you know, and I've loved my car so much, and I've had it 3.5 years, and I'm always the type of person that probably that's as long as I keep my car, so I went in to trade it because I'm actually trading for a car almost exactly like it. But when I saw the trade-in amount, I was shocked. It was really not exactly what I paid for it, but very close. So they really have strong trade-in value. I was surprised because, you know, we haven't had EVs that long to have to trade it in. So I was really happy with that.
So Kelly, why are you trading your car, if I can ask you?
I just wanted an SUV. I have a 16-year-old. He has a lot of stuff that goes in the back. Okay. So I'm actually getting the same color, white seats, which are so easy to clean. I never would have thought it. And a white car, just an SUV model, similar to the EV I already have. And I test drove that, and it just feels even like I love it even more. I love it even more. Last week we talked about smart meters, smart cities, smart homes. How does the EV fit into that vision for the future?
Well, now the home builders are building smart homes that include EV charger there, or not charger, just an outlet. So when you buy a new home, it's ready for you to charge, and it's even easier than it is today.
Yeah, I've seen that, and I've talked to some builders too. Everyone seems really excited about the ability to offer that option to people. So we're looking forward to that too. Angie, thank you for joining us today. I have so enjoyed your enthusiasm and your information. I've learned some things too. I hope you've enjoyed this electrifying session. Stay tuned for more information about how we can transform the energy landscape. Don't forget to download our new app. It has great features. You can pair yourself to your neighbor's usage. You can pay your bill online. Go paperless. It saves us all money. And join AutoPay so you never have to worry about forgetting to pay your electric bill again. Again, thank you for joining our episode today on electrification. We hope to see you again soon on another empowering podcast. If you've liked it, subscribe, give us a like. Look forward to seeing you again.